Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Play action fake, blitz coming. Wow. Patrick rolls away from it. Rolls to his left, throws it downfield, and he's got Devontae Parker. Man, Fitzpatrick looks like he's about 29 years old. Rosen getting pressure again and just gets rid of the football, and it is caught downfield by Williams. How in the world did that happen?
Did he catch that football?
He sure did. Mark Walton, the running back, first and 10 from the 25. Rosen, plenty of time this time. Floats it down the left sideline, and it's caught by Preston Williams, one-handed.
Man. Putting it right on the money.
Williams in motion, Rosen back to throw, throws it downfield, and it's caught. He took it away from the defensive back. Preston Williams just took it right out of the arms of the defender. Dolphins will take a knee, and they'll take their first preseason game, and they'll give their brand new rookie head coach his first win. Brian Flores goes to 1-0 with a 34-27 win over the Atlanta Falcons.
It's hard to tell. You know, I'm going to have to go back and watch the tape. Obviously, turnover. You know, Josh's turnover. We didn't like that, but I thought he made some good throws. I thought Fitz was off target on a few throws as well. I thought the protection for both guys could have been a lot better, which would have given us a little bit better evaluation on the, you know, as I was watching it. But I'll have a better feel for how each one of those guys played after I watched the tape. The rotation we had today was a good one. You know, he played, you know, the second and third quarter. I thought the protection with both lines could have been better. You know, I thought he had a few good throws to Preston. I thought Preston showed up today. Again, you know, it's hard to say how a guy played without really going through it, but I thought Josh managed the game well. He got the guys in and out of the huddle. Obviously didn't play turnover free, but, you know, specifically in the second half, I thought we put together a couple of good drives.
It is hard to evaluate when the offensive line is not blocking for you. You don't have a lot of time back there. But when they did, quarterbacks were pretty good last night. A lot more evaluation. You just heard Coach Flores talking about it as Dolphins. Actually, I don't – Zach, you've been around for all these preseason. I can't remember last time. Probably the two best performances in a game one of a preseason. Usually they're draft picks.
Right.
Were two rookie free agents. Not that some of the draft picks didn't play well, because a bunch of them, they all got their plays. Even seventh-round running back Miles Gaskin was really good last night.
Had
a couple touchdowns, right?
I can't remember the last time we've come in after a preseason game or I've seen after a preseason game where the MVP basically of both sides of the ball were two guys that didn't get drafted that just got invited to camp. Like, I just can't. And I know the preseason is for a lot of the stake that comes in preseason is for the young guys to see what they are. You know what you're going to get from the vets, and that's fine. You're going to play them a lot more than you're going to play the other guys. But for this team right now, for that to happen, it's a positive sign. You want Dieter to be the star of the game. You want, you know, Wilkins to be the star of the game. You want one of the young guys. You want Drake to have a great game, or Bellage great. But to have these two guys kind of stand out last night and hopefully improve as we go in two positions. Not really two positions we need. Wide receiver, maybe the deepest position on this team right now when everyone's healthy. But defensive end, pass rusher, something you really don't have on this roster. For Hendricks to do that, I have to give him a standing ovation today. Yeah.
Couple of sacks yesterday. Yeah. And, of course, Preston Williams. Everybody's been talking about the crazy four catches that he had in the game and where he fits in and how much can he move up and how will they treat him. By the way, they only got a couple of days because they're going to be back at it again on Tuesday morning, practicing against Tampa Bay. I believe Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday off, Friday we'll be back to the game there, and then coming back home here. But yeah, going to be a lot of work to get done, man. So you just got to impress every day, and those guys, you can tell, are treating every snap like it's their last one, the way they're playing. But they both had good camps. Right. Omar's coming up, and Omar's talked a lot about Dwayne Hendricks. He really has for people haven't really noticed him out there. And, oh, he had another sack today or had a couple more pressures. And Preston Williams, everybody knows about. And what happens is, so Josh Rosen and Preston Williams have been lining up a lot of the snaps in the same group. Josh has been running with the second. And so a lot of days, Preston Williams runs with the seconds. And so when he sees the matchups, he's been throwing to him because he makes plays. And quarterbacks get more confidence. And when he's one-on-one on the outside, throw it. Don't overthrow it. Don't underthrow it. Just throw where he can go get it. And so we saw it again last night. It looked just like continuation of what he's been doing in practice, except last night a lot more people got to see him going, who the hell's this Preston Williams? And he didn't get drafted. And usually those numbers you look at, he's probably in the first two or three rounds for a guy that big.
No red flags, he gets drafted.
But he had the same kind of red flags that defensive tackle played at the University of Miami, who I have no doubt, like Preston Williams, if they stay out of trouble and the knucklehead is gone and they're finally grown up and they don't do anything stupid, even when that little guy jumps on your shoulder and goes, do it, do it, do it, nobody will care.
He's not wearing the white outfit, right? That would be the red outfit
right
on the left side.
It's okay. just if they're smart enough to stay away from it, both those guys got a chance, man. I always do that. We're talking about Preston Williams, and I always think of Willis from last year,
right,
defensive tackle, who was the best player on the University of Miami football team. And there's no doubt Preston Williams, the best player on his football team last year, too, even though the guy didn't get friggin' drafted.
You'll see Willis a week one, by the way, down here in
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hope he didn't have a chip on his shoulder.
Oh, like he does. Come on.
The Dolphins didn't take him.
Of course
something.
He's going to do it. Every week he should have that on his chest, on his shoulder, wherever you want. The guy didn't get drafted. Joe, when you were mocked as a possible two or a one and, oh, at worst a three and it'd be a late second day guy, and then all of a sudden, fourth round, fifth round,
well,
sixth round, and the seventh round concludes and your name hasn't been called yet? Come on.
You know, for every team to be turned off, and we were talking about this last night off the air, that Preston Williams, as good as he is, and you see it, that somebody didn't go, hey, somebody, he's going to have a bunch of teams interested in him, take him in the seventh round. Same thing with defensive tackle from the U. Why? I don't understand, like, hey, listen, man, he's a turd. He's been a bad guy off. He doesn't get it. He's turning down workouts. He's late. All the things that happened for him in the offseason that turned everybody off, along with all the problems of getting kicked off the team twice, right? Kicked off Florida, kicked off Miami. Some people just took him off the board. But I saw him play. I don't know about you, but I'm a general manager. As soon as I do my background checks with the parents and, you know, and talk to them and do everything. And hey, listen, if I realize, like, dude, he's out there, I don't feel like dealing with it, which apparently a lot of NFL teams didn't want to. But, man, how bad was Preston Williams? Nobody drafted him.
Well, I mean, you look deeper and farther into it. If red flags are up for being kicked off the team or this and that, and he had an arrest for domestic violence.
Yeah,
and
that one, by the way, right now is,
I mean, and I understand you almost have to stay away from that to a point, and I think a lot of teams did. And once that comes up as the red, because you look at what the red flag is. What is the red flag for this guy? Well, this guy was late to a lot of meetings in college. This guy was arrested off campus for marijuana. This guy, this. It was kicked off one team, went to another team. All right, well, we have to do our background on him. When you see an arrest for domestic violence, you really don't need to go past that, where teams are going to say, out. He's got skill, good player, we're out.
No, they just take you. What they do is they just go take him off the board.
That's it.
And they go, what?
He wasn't invited to the combine.
Like, take him off the board, he's out.
Yeah.
And we're not dealing with it. And by the way, you set something up and you show up late or you miss your plane, most teams go, you're out.
Yep. This is a different kind
of
out.
Meeting set up and you don't show, so you're wasting coach. You know, he's out. He does this all the time. Said he did this in college too. Take, it's GM stands up and goes, take him off the board.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm not, there's enough guys out there. We'll find somebody else. But I'm all for taking these. I got no problem with this. Kim Dishi, they just did the same thing.
Right.
You know, you got nothing to lose.
Nothing at all.
If he is a turd, or a knucklehead,
boom,
or doesn't get it.
Get rid of him.
After what just happened, where you really, I mean, you didn't do anything with the Cardinals. You were drafted in the first round. You made a lot of money. Your first round pick in 2016. But the team's thinking he's got chip on his shoulder. If we get the max out of this guy, we get some. And if, by the way, he gets down here and he looks like he's comfortable with the money he's already made, we get rid of him. One thing about it, man, you work out in this heat down here, you can get rid of the frauds real quickly.
Right, right.
You can get rid of all the phonies and frauds real quickly and all that stuff.
Yep.
So
you could see it right away.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, we got to check in with Omar Kelly. Let's check in, see how everything is in Coral Gables and Cuba and everything else. Omar Kelly, Sun Sentinel Dolphins reporter.
Wait a minute, what'd you throw in at the end there? You throwing a little Cuba in the end there?
What did he tell? He told us that Coral Gables, Cuba's nicer than Coral Gables. Mm. He said, no, he say that? I don't remember.
It was so long ago, I forgot.
He's got other things on his mind, man. He's got to evaluate talent and get ready and see what's going on. Hey, Zach, what else you got for me this morning?
Well, I could tell you exactly about what's going on with our fantasy football stuff. We've been talking about it for a while now. And Hooters is going to be your destination for your fantasy football draft, and they want to help you out there. If you host a draft at Hooters, you're going to get an exclusive draft kit, $200 in coupons, and fun Hooters swag. You can reserve your table for free at Hooters.com/football. We're also giving away a $50 Hooters gift certificate daily here on the show. And we have another question for someone out there, fantasy football question. You can line up the phone lines, 305-567-0560. We do have a question today. Hollywood, what is it?
All right, so we are going to ask today who had the single best fantasy football season ever.
Whoa. Ever?
The single best fantasy football season ever.
I remember fantasy football didn't start till well,
how many years are we going back? That would be – how many years are we going back?
We'll start at 2000.
Huh?
Is that safe? We'll start at 2000.
All right,
we're
so
not
since
going
somebody,
like, no, we're not
somebody,
going like 100 years ago when you
somebody
played.
Over
like
the,
when,
somebody over
like
the
– someone calls him with Jim Brown, it's the wrong
existed.
Answer.
Yeah.
Somebody 17 or 18 years to put up monster numbers, most likely
this
a
is like the
back.
Biggest season ever. This is a huge
– I think I might know who it is. As crazy as that sounds.
We'll throw one out. All right, don't do it. Hey, right now I want to tell you about
– running back.
No, okay, running back.
That's Seattle.
What I just said. Really?
Mm-hmm. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
All right, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors at one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. We're going to bring on Omar Kelly right now. And the reason why we're playing this music, by the way, is because he's one of our participants tonight at the Summer Flow Fest and Landshark Viewing Party at Margaritaville Hollywood Beach Resort from 4 to 6 p.m. tonight. Hawk and Crowder will be there live. Hollywood and Omar will be on the surf simulator, and I will be emceeing this.
They're going to have fun, but neither guy's going to get up, but they're going to be good sports about it and try and
get it. What are you talking about, Joe? You think I'm not going to get up on it?
Do you think that you're going to get up on the simulator? Because a lot of people have been texting in, people that have done it before, that is extremely hard.
I am absolutely positive I will be standing up on the surfboard. I probably will be maybe 7 seconds standing up, but I'll be up.
Omar, I am proud of that. I want you to be.
Have you done
it
before, Omar? It's a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've done it before. Yeah.
Right, don't buy any of this, by the way. I just talked to him off the air. He was freaking out about it. Don't buy any of this.
Only reason I was freaking out about it because Hollywood told me he's got a snowboarding background, which. You know, now that
but
be a little
just,
intimidating.
Omar, he just throws stuff out there.
Well, I'll be fine. I'm concerned
Omar,
about you.
Omar, don't get psyched out before.
You
like,
can't
come
let
on.
This guy get in your head, Omar.
I want this confidence oozing out of you. Oozing. You said 7 seconds.
He,
I think you could do it.
Do you all believe he's got a snowboarding backboard? I mean,
no,
you know,
I don't.
That, you know, I know his wife takes him on those fancy trips. So, you know, I do believe she's taking him on quite a few ski trips.
I can imagine.
I believe I live in Omar's head rent-free, okay?
Yeah, at this point, I almost have to believe it. Yeah.
All right, Omar, listen.
He's rattled.
Enough of Hollywood, honestly.
4 to 6 p.m. tonight, Margaritaville, to watch this grudge.
No, the only thing you're right about is wife is definitely calling all the shots.
Of course.
If he's getting out of the house, that's because she signed off.
She opened the door.
I want to ask you, last night, There's a lot of different parts to it. What are you most concerned with? I know it's only game one, a lot of work ahead, but what area of the team are you most concerned with?
Zach, what area of the team am I always the most concerned with?
Offensive line.
Offensive line.
It's if you don't have a good offensive line, it's like having a car. Well, actually, that's a quarterback, but I was going to say having a car without an engine. Like, if you don't have a good offensive line, you're not going to have a good team. Yeah. It just in general, you're doing nothing. You can't run the ball to win time of possession. You can't, you know, protect the quarterback to maybe give yourself a chance on third downs. The quarterback's consistently under pressure. You know, I believe Ryan Tannehill will eventually be a good quarterback when he has the best offensive line in the NFL. He's not going to be an elite quarterback, but he'll be a good quarterback. So it doesn't surprise me that he had success in Tennessee. But he never had a really good offensive line here in Miami, and he's got horrendous pocket presence, so there was no future there. Now, what I like about what I saw from Josh Rosen more than anything is, and it's consistent with his film that you saw in his rookie season with Arizona, there's pocket presence there, which is something Tannehill never had. Like, it was non-existent. The problem you have is you got to give him something to work with. And I know they were out there without Laremy Tunsil and with Jordan Mills playing left tackle for the first time. He gave us the exact date. December 3rd, 2009 was the last time he played left tackle in a game. That's not fair to Jordan. That's not fair to those quarterbacks. But I understood it because Laremy Tunsil was not on the sidelines, which means Laremy Tunsil was injured, which is an even bigger concern for me than the fact that Jordan Mills was playing left tackle, because if you don't have Laremy Tunsil on your line, you don't have a line.
Yeah. No, I would agree. The offensive line is going to be some work. Are you worried about cover corner, a second cover corner on the outside?
I think this team has three major issues that they have not addressed this offseason in an appropriate manner. I think the offensive line, primarily the right tackle spot, because I do and I need Jesse Davis to play right guard. I know it can be okay with him at right tackle, but Jesse Davis is going to thrive at right guard. He's not going to thrive at right tackle, and I want to see Jesse thrive. But Dolphins don't have a tackle. So, you know, he's probably the best candidate to play tackle right now. And also, cornerback, Eric Rowe. The same thing that's knocked him his entire career, which is injuries, is surfacing now. And I think he's okay even when he's healthy. I don't think he's a good NFL starter. And then pass rush. I was a little bit pleasantly surprised about the pass rush yesterday because they were getting pressure without blitzing. And I was like, oh, okay, Tank Carradine and Nate Orchard, you look like maybe you can get the job done.
Let me ask you about a guy you've been talking about. How about Dwayne Hendricks last night? How about the game? I know you talk about a lot. He's had a lot of good practices, but, I'll tell you what, he looked pretty good. I know he's going against the guys in the twos and threes, but very good stuff.
Oh, no doubt. What you look for when you're looking at young players is you're trying to see which young player dominates his unit, whether he's working with the twos or he's working with the threes, and warrants a call-up. Well, Dwayne Hendricks, he showed you, no matter what level of competition you put me out there with, and that includes the Atlanta Falcons, I'm gonna make a play that can contribute to a win. And then what you do is you take those players like the Preston Williams, who, good God, he probably might be the best rookie on the team. Might be the best receiver on the team. And you continue to give them more. You continue to elevate them, and you see how much they can handle. And Dwayne Hendricks has shown you, hey, it might be time to call him up to that second unit. And, yeah, you know, just like Preston Williams has shown you, hey, it might be time. I don't know if you want to mess with him and Josh Rosen's chemistry, because he's really, you know, I hate to say it, but he's carrying Josh Rosen right now. But I really think he needs an opportunity to work with the starters.
The Preston Williams situation to me is, if he's doing well and he's playing well in, you know, camp and practice, I think you got to move him up. I understand the chemistry thing with Rosen, I do, because they have been together a lot during camp, obviously. But if he's making this jump or this leap, you know, he has to be in there with the ones at one point, right? Like, he has to get in there and just be the number three guy or the number two guy and just see what he has. He's a physical specimen, this guy.
Yeah, this is, and honestly, I believe this is the time now, because you've got Albert Wilson still sidelined coming back from the injury. You've got Jakeem Grant sidelined. Right now, the only person standing in his way is Isaiah Ford. Like, what are you doing with that? No offense to Isaiah Ford, who I think has had a nice camp, but, you know, if anything, he's like he's a practice squad receiver. I think this is your time. Right now, you put him in there with Devontae, and you put Kenny Stills in the slot, and you see what your offense can become. And I actually do like that offense. I mean, he is really, really, you know, the only thing that concerns me about him is young players, when you put a lot on their plate, they start to drown. And I don't know if he can fully grasp all of the playbook, or if he's only got 20% of the playbook. I don't know how he's handling that install, because understand, there's a reason why he didn't play at Tennessee, whether it was, you know, maturity or players were more talented than him. But I have a hard time believing players are more talented than him, because he's 6'5", can run a 4.5, can catch everything. Truthfully speaking, I think that he spent this summer with Brandon Marshall training at Fit Speed, and I do believe Brandon Marshall's taught him the art of pushing off, because he pushes off on just about every play, but it's so subtle that refs can't call it because they know it's heavily favored. And somebody had to teach him those things. I don't think those things are natural.
Hey, Omar, I wanted to ask you about something quietly that happened before the game. Robert Kimdichie, excuse me, a defensive tackle. Where's he fit in? I know he goes to PUP. Can you see him playing this year?
I believe he probably start the season maybe on IR and be eligible for the second half of the year. But, you know, they're just I'm proud of what they're doing, because they're saying we're collecting talent no matter where it is, no matter what it is.
Right.
And that's truly the Patriots way. Like, think about how many times the Patriots have taken a guy that just got arrested or a guy that's coming off a suspension or a guy that a team is throwing away via trade, you know, and the Patriots like, come on down. If you got talent, we got a spot for you. And truthfully speaking, I don't think they have a needed defensive tackle, but this roster is so thin right now, you can handle another 10 guys with talent no matter what position they play.
Omar, when you're talking about the quarterbacks, you always want to have more good than bad. Did you see more good than bad last night with Rosen?
Oh, absolutely. I could tell you, I'm probably critic number one of Josh Rosen, but I've seen steady and consistent improvement from him. It's getting to the point now where I'm feeling like it's a quarterback competition. Before, I couldn't tell you it was a quarterback competition because he was getting his face pumped in. But now he is at the level where he is executing at a level where I can say, okay, I could see an NFL starter. Previously, I could not see an NFL starter because, you know, what you guys saw with the interception, you know, happens every day. And that happens more. Nah, I can't say it happens more than once. But you just see late throws consistently from him. And, you know, throws where he just makes the wrong read. And he's starting to clean that up a little bit. And, you know, I'm getting to the point now where I feel like I know he's eventually going to be the starter for this team, because I don't have the opinion that Ryan Fitzpatrick's arm is going to last a full season. I just don't. Or his health is going to last a full season. But now I'm saying, hey, if you give me two more games like you played on Thursday night, and you get it to the point where I at least feel like it's an even competition, you know the job is yours, because if it's even, the young guy is going to get it.
All right, I got to ask you, it's not a big deal, but it happened last night, and we were surprised, and everybody wants to know who's starting because that's the way we've all been trained. Kenyon Drake started last night, and I was going, no, you know, Bilal's going to be in there. And Kenyon, how much you read into that? What happened there?
They're going to both play. They're going to both have a role. I think Kenyon.
No, I agree. They're both going to play, but did that surprise you last night at all?
I think Kenyon is going to have more snaps because he's going to have more packages. But, you know, I look at it from this standpoint. Kalen Ballage is their LeGarrette Blount, and Kenyon Drake is their Kevin Falk. Doesn't mean that one is more important than the other. It just means that, one, they have specialized roles, and you're going to use them in a specialized fashion. Kenyon Drake, I think he can end that whole debate and discussion by continuing to be a disciplined runner. That's the number one complaint every coach that's ever coached Kenyon Drake says about Kenyon Drake. Okay, if we have a run for this A gap, why are you cutting it back and running it over there outside tackle? You know, and until he cuts that out, and he says he's never going to cut it out. But until he gets that mindset of doing what he's told, you're not meant for this coaching staff.
Hey, how's Kenny Stills doing with all this stuff that's going back and forth? I know you talked to him a little bit.
Yeah. I could tell you, getting death threats, which is what Kenny said, he's received 5 to 10 death threats. As a person who has received death threats himself, and who knows what, when you write about situations like this, I don't even want to see what my emails look like today. It's never good. It's never comfortable. It adds an extra weight on your shoulders.
Right.
Fortunately, Kenny doesn't have a wife and kids. So, you know, it's really just him and maybe his family members he has to worry about. But it never feels good to be the target of an entire, you know, faction of people who want to see you fail and want to see you die and want to see you get fired. And he's got to carry that load. But Kenny's been carrying the load for quite a while right now. He's one of the original kneelers. Him and Eric Reed are the last two that's standing. And I've just watched the evolution of Kenny throughout, from when he kneeled the first time and Kenny couldn't speak or explain why he was kneeling, to where now he is so passionate and so vocal about what he believes in and the things that he supports. And the fact that his actions are backed up by actions, which is, you know, what people don't understand, how much work he does in the community and how much he has worked to be a good spokesman and a good representative for the Dolphins. I mean, every day they're out there at training camp, they're going to be there tomorrow. I guarantee you the last person signing autographs and taking pictures is going to be Kenny Stills, because it's been that way for 15 straight days.
The situation's not going to get any better, like, today if this event happens, right?
I mean, the event is going to be the event. It's, you know, this is not going anywhere. Unfortunately, sports and politics is intersecting in this world. Unfortunately or fortunately, we're realizing where we are as a society in terms of, you know, I've always known that race is a factor in this world right now, because I'm a black man. It can't be ignored in my world. But a lot of people choose to ignore it and say, oh, there's no need for racism. There's no need for diversity. There's no need to come together as a nation. And I know for a fact that there is, but a lot of people aren't comfortable with that. And a lot of people don't realize that injustices happen all the time, every week. How many times do I have to retweet fresh videos from a week about a black man this week getting walked down the street in handcuffs and on a rope by a police officer on a horse, which is a direct reflection of slavery days? How many times does that stuff have to happen every single week for people to realize that, hey, social injustice is still going on, and that we need to work harder to make this country a collective one?
How do you think, I'll leave you with this one, Coach Flores obviously got a lot on his plate. How's he handled it with this whole thing and with Kenny? Kind of stuck between the two.
Yeah, I mean, number one, Coach Flores is a black man from Honduras whose family immigrated here and allowed him to have a better life. So I think Coach Flores sits from a different perspective and view than a lot of people. And I think that he would respect what Kenny's doing and give him the freedom to do it, just as long as it's not impacting his performance on the field. I mean, but as some people have to understand, there's a lot of stuff is greater than just football. And what Kenny's doing is greater than just football, because Kenny is speaking for a population of people, including myself, who don't have a voice. I have a voice. And unfortunately, I'm always scared when this stuff comes up, because I have to deal with the hate and the ramifications when I do address it.
Well, getting back to the original thing, I think a lot of people will just say, look, I just want to see the football stuff and not the other stuff. And I know it's hard to split up sometimes. So anyway,
it's hard to split up. Yeah. And I think Kenny is bringing awareness to it. And I think that that's the important part.
Thank you, man. You take care.
We'll see you, we'll see you later.
Thanks for coming on, Omar. We appreciate it.
No problem. And I'll see you at 4 o'clock, Hollywood. Get ready to be embarrassed.
Wow. I like that.
I like it.
Well done, Omar.
A little trash talking after some serious stuff.
Yeah, that was some.
Hey, right now, before we get going here, we got Mike Florio going to join us. Udonis Haslam is expected to join us
today. That's a hell of a 9 o'clock hour.
If it happens, that's good. Okay. Plus your text messages. We never forget about your text messages, man. Lexus of Kendall and Lexus of West Kendall. Text line 56022. Radio.com. Radio.com.
The 2019 hurricane season has arrived, and once again, WQAM is combining with the team at CBS4 to bring you extensive coverage from watch to warning to landfall to recovery. Keep it tuned to 560 The Joe, WQAM, for up-to-the-minute news and tips should a hurricane approach. Hurricane coverage on WQAM is sponsored by BNT Services, protecting you with PGT impact windows and doors. Be informed during this hurricane season from CBS4 and AM 560 and 96.5 FM HD2 WQAM.
All right, so Ryan Tannehill goes 12 for 16, 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. A lot of guys in there, a little bit of playing time, or a lot of backups got a lot of extra playing time last night. And Ryan had one of those, you know, nice start. I'm sure he wanted to get off to a great start and get into the mention of a starter. And, you know, I'm right there with your first overall pick a few years back and everything else. And he's been injured. And listen, there's no doubt in my mind Ryan's going to win some games for him. He'll manage that team perfectly. But Zach, no matter what happens, and I know when guys leave and they go have success other places, and we go, look at that. We didn't coach him up. That's on us. He goes somewhere else, and he's good. And we've had our share of guys leave and go other places. Yes, that has happened. But Ryan Tannehill needs a fresh start from us, and we need a fresh start from him.
Correct.
It's been 7 years of teasing to just really bad. And I thought last year, especially after the Cincinnati game, that was it, where they had two defensive line scores there at the end of the game, and after cruising along and really controlling the game, and then that happened. It's nothing against Ryan Tannehill. He's a really nice guy, very quiet guy, harmless. I'm just talking about a guy as a former first-round pick for the Miami Dolphins, just needed to go somewhere else. And if he plays great, I'm not looking back and come on the show and doing a whole thing and watching Tannehill when he starts. And if he gets some starts, and I think he will for Tennessee this year, the Tannehill family needs – Nashville's a good place.
It was a mutual perfect kind of situation for both, for that Tannehill family and for Dolphins family. It just – I think the reason why it was so bad and got so bad was, and you pointed it out the other day, Marino leaves and you draft one quarterback in the first round in 20 years. It's that guy,
right?
And he's the great tease. Because when he's healthy and he's playing his first couple of years, he looked okay. Looked like he could turn into a pretty good quarterback. Then he gets hurt, and then we keep him around, and you bring him back, and he gets hurt again, and this, and we still got Tannehill. No. At a certain point, you just have to cut ties and say it didn't work out, you got to go. And that's it.
Because you know what happens when a quarterback doesn't work? People get where they really just don't like them.
Of course. It gets personal. Yeah, it got personal.
And then it bleeds into the family, and then stuff comes out about, you know, security for the wife and stuff with the kids before the game instead of being, you know, it's just – and I found myself on that, like, oh, my God.
Everything started to irk you about this guy and everything that happened.
And I just realized, you know what? It's nothing against him. He's going to stay around and make as much as he can. And I know he wanted to prove everybody wrong, and everybody knows what his shortcut pocket awareness to everything else, making big throws, being able to take over a game late, and it's not all him. Some of it was his offensive line.
Sure.
Some of it could be his coordinator, his coaching. But at some point, some of it's you, too.
Especially, have to look in the mirror once in a while.
So I just, that's all. I don't wish him bad, because I don't think guy's got a bad bone in his body. I really don't. I think Ryan Tannehill, outside of being very private and very quiet, maybe too much for an unproven quarterback, actually. Get to know your teammates a little bit. But, you know, whatever. Not taking shots. If he has success, I'm not going to come in here. If we're talking in December and Tannehill's got that, because they've been 9-7, like, what, 3 years in a row?
That's where they are.
Got a good team.
Yeah.
Got a big old running back, got a really good offensive line, and he might have enough on the outside, but I'm
good
not.
Good defense. Like, that Tennessee
I'm,
team
I'm
is
moving
built to
on,
win.
And yep. Somebody goes, hey, Tannehill's great. I'm happy for Ryan. Nothing bad for the guy. It's not a Jeff Ireland situation where I hope the guy can't find a job. Seriously, I'm not like that.
You needed a clean break. It needed
to
be
like
over.
That anymore.
No, well, I mean, you're a little bit. But you needed a clean break, and it was perfect for both sides. Dolphin fans were done with Tannehill, and Tannehill and the family were done with Miami. That's it. It is what it is. It's done. It's over with now. But you're right. Every game that he plays in the season, we're going to be talking about the Dolphins and what they did yesterday on a Monday coming in here, and we're going to talk about the Tennessee game, especially if he does anything good and has any good games, or if he has a stinker. We come in, Tennessee loses by 21, Tannehill threw three picks because he started that game, Mariota's hurt, or whatever the case may be, and we're going to be kind of laughing going, see, we've seen that before. Or he throws three touchdowns and they win the game. Well, man, we did have glimpses of that also at one point. Man,
this might
that's
be
weird.
The best. This might be the best offensive line he's had.
Could be one of the best offensive lines in the league when everyone's there and not suspended or injured. Like, they got a right and a left tackle that are probably two tops in the league. Like, they have a good – they have a decent team there in Tennessee. If Tannehill's leading the charge all the way through the season, he's going to be the great tease for those Tennessee fans throughout this entire season.
I am
good
still –
good game, bad game, good game, not, bad game, good game, bad game.
Still haven't seen him down 17 or 21 and bring his team back. Or when was the last time you just go, hey, defense doesn't have it. Let's do one of those old Marino shootouts and see what happens.
Well,
he's
not that guy.
Not a good situation at all in that boat. Anyway, we got 9 o'clock hour coming up. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk's going to join us. We're going to try for UD today.
Expecting. I like to use the word term expecting.
Expecting UD plus your text messages. We'll jump in here, come back, and
about as ugly as it gets in that text machine.
Oh man, come on. We've had ugly days.
This is bad. As bad as
it is. Is it bad enough where it can mess up your Friday?
Certain ones, yes. I'll try to take the, you know, the tweezers and find the ones that
have you gotten to the actual I hate? Have you had that?
Oh, worse than hate, yes.
Hate.
Yeah. I bleeping hate.
I bleeping hate.
Yeah. Not like yesterday. Yesterday we reached an all-time low from one of the texters.
Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.